Good evening, Patriots. And I am back at home, sweet home. I'll tell you. And I'm back with my favorite mic, too, my TLM-49. Man, do I love this mic. I'm going to have to get some better travel mics, though. I had a great mic. I had the coolest mic around. I was using the, if you remember, I did a story on the Soyuz 17, which is like super cool looking mic. And I like it, but I love this mic. It's even better. Anyway, enough of my mic stuff. Right off the top, our public service announcements. Every night, every day, four times a day when I'm doing four shows, three times a day when I'm doing three shows, two times a day when I'm doing two shows. And tonight you get a public service announcement number one, Bard's Fest. That's right, Bard's Fest. Bard's Fest is the 26th to the 29th of August. You need to be there. I don't know how else to say it. You need to be there. This is God's revival. It's going to be the greatest revival in human history. At least that's what we're praying for, and that's what we believe. It's going to be stunning. You know, I've been praying on this because there's a lot of space here, indoor, outdoor. And it is incredible. And I just keep hearing God saying, keep it big, make the room, because they're coming. And I'm like, okay, they're coming. This is going to be awesome. So Bard's Fest. We have so many neat things happening at Bard's Fest. By the way, confirmed today. As I've been telling you, we're talking, Mike Lindell is happy to speak at both events. So on Friday, the 27th of August, Mike Lindell will be speaking at the outdoor event around 11 a.m. and the indoor event at 6 p.m. We love Mike. The outdoor event, I believe he's going to be speaking about election fraud. The indoor event, he's going to be telling his story. It's going to be amazing. And I think we're going to get a chance to preview his film there right after he speaks on the outdoor event. So, Patriots, you need to be there. There's just no other place to be in the world but at Bard's Fest. So you can go to bardsfest.com. You can get your tickets for the indoor, the outdoor, the indoor, the outdoor, the indoor, the outdoor, and just keep clicking the button. That's what we need. Bardsfest.com. Get your tickets. And public service announcement number two is MyPillow. MyPillow. And why do you need MyPillow? Because we love Mike Lindell. That's why, because he's the greatest CEO patriot of our time. The guy is uber cool. So we need to support that company. Make them the best company in America. And that means we need to use our favorite and one and only exclusive Bards promo code, B-A-R-D-S. I'm looking at the board. Mimo put up Bards perfectly. That's good. Perfectly timed, too. Bards. Bards promo code. We need to use that. You use that to get your great savings. You can use that to get your great savings on towels that are on sale right now. Six towels, all American cotton. Go down to the middle of the page. Click on radio promo box. That's for us podcasters and radio people. It's an exclusive sale just for us. And Mike put that on just a little while ago, just for the radio promo. We want to get your towels for a great price. American cotton, it's fantastic. Get your My Slippers, because you're going to be required to have My Slippers on Bard's Fest Day 27th. It's not Bard's Fest Day, it's My Slippers. It's Slipper Revolution Day at the Bard's Fest on the 27th of August. Everybody needs to have My Slippers. We want to see like a million patriots worldwide wearing My Slippers. That's not difficult. Just get on there and buy a pair of My Slippers. We've got four weeks to get your My Slippers. So get your My Slippers now. We want a million patriots out there. My Slippers. And you can get your sheets. You can get your comforter. Get your towels. You can get your My Slippers. You can get your My Doggy Bed for Rover sitting there. Like, Rover, go sleep on my pillow, my doggy bed. Rover's going to be like, no problem. I'm not getting up either. When you call me for dinner, I'm still sleeping. So it's awesome. So get on over there and get your My Doggy Beds too. And you can pick up a copy of Mike's book. I mean, it's everything. It's like the best store ever online. So anyway, mypillow.com and promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and Patriots, in case you're in need of counseling, okay? Where you're like, oh, I can't sleep. I need to go see a psychiatrist. I have a better solution for you. Call this number, 800-975-2939. 800-975-2939. And you're going to get an operator, and the operator is going to work for MyPillow. And you're going to say to them, oh, can you help me? Because I can't sleep. And they're going to say, of course I can help you. you need to use your promo code. What's your promo code? And you're going to be like, well, my promo code is BARDS. They're like, this is all you need to do. How do you spell BARDS? B-A-R-D-S. And they'll be like, what is it? What are you calling for? I need counseling for sleeping. They're like, we've got you covered. We've got you covered, because what you need to do is just buy some MyPillow stuff and you'll sleep like a baby. And oh, will you? And then you'll be like, wow, that was a good investment. I don't need to go to the counselor every week and I don't have to get any drugs to put me down. Just stick yourself like a little steak in a sleeve right in there inside that package of a little wrapper of comforter sheets and my comforter and my pillows, and boom, you're going to be sleeping like a baby till the next week. So you got it, mypillow.com, BARDS promo code, and in case you're in need of counseling, 800-975-2939, and they will solve your sleep problems. Just remember your code, B-A-R-D-S. All right, that's it. That's what happens. You do a whole long day drive and you haven't talked about MyPillow. You get a whole bunch of it. And don't forget Bard's Fest either, please. Bard's Fest. It's a revival. Everybody wants to be there. 26th to the 29th of August. So now you got that one twice. I think we got it. And you can go to bardsfest.com. It's that simple. You know, I've been thinking all day long, riding along, and I've been about 6 hours of a nice drive through Northern California, which was like, it's awesome because you go through a communist country, but you arrive at Patriot Sanctuary counties. It's awesome. So you know that you're driving through a communist country when you're in California. Like down in Anaheim, that's a Patriot stronghold. And then in Northern California, or in Northern LA, where I was with Brian, that's a Patriot stronghold. At least at his house it is. And it's Brian and Jill. But then when you leave there, it's like you're in communist country. And then you go up through Bakersfield and Stockton, like up to I-5, and then you know you're back into Patriot country because they all have these signs of revoke Newsom and start building dams and quit dumping our water into the ocean, because they've been trying to starve out California crops by cutting all the water supplies to them. And then, of course, you cross near Sacramento, which is communist country again. That's where you, when you're in the hotels, you're like, you must wear a mask unless you're vaxxed. I'm like, oh, all right, whatever. Walk in, they don't say anything to you, you know. But all the operators, all the people working there are all gagged up with face diapers. You're like, oh, whatever. So then you continue north, and you finally escape some of the communist territory, and you get into Patriot Sanctuary lands. That's up near, you know, Redding, Corning, Yuba City. Right, it's nice. And then you head up into Weed, and you cross over into Oregon. And then when you get into Ashland, you're back into communist territory again. And then you break out of Ashland quickly, by the way. And then you get into the southern part of Oregon. And then you drive by. It's the greatest scene ever because it's up just a little bit north of Grants Pass. It's in between Grants Pass and Medford. And there's this huge pipe supplier. And I know what they're supplying because I can tell what they're doing on the side. This whole place is supplying all the marijuana growers, which is legal in Oregon, all the marijuana growers with all of the stuff they need, from like shade netting to piping and their water supplies. And this is what makes it funny, because this is what I was laughing at. There is a massive sign, and it says, Trump won. That's it, and a huge American flag. Then you're like, yes, I'm back in Oregon again. It's great. So I love Southern Oregon. They're all a bunch of good old boy, American loving. You don't know it from what that garbage that comes out of Salem and Portland. But Southern Oregon, man, this is straight up Trump country. I'm telling you, Trump country. But anyway, beautiful drive, beautiful mountains. Medford has these amazing plateaus, actually. And when you go through Medford, if you ever drive through Medford on I-5, you'll see these two big plateaus on your right side of the freeway heading north. One of those actually has a runway on top of it. It used to be a Navy World War II emergency launch place for aircraft. It was pretty neat. So where did that lead me? So my question today was over and over about what we are and what is really our problem in this nation. And I had these conversations. It's always nice when you drive. You kind of feel like God's with you in the passenger seat, right? And you just kind of have these reflective conversations with God ongoing. And so I'm kind of just putting it to God. It's like, you know, what have we got going here? Because we're having, here's the basic problem. Truth about this vaccine and truth about the media, meaning they're liars, and the fundamentals that we're talking about, truth about voter fraud, those are kind of the three principal issues we're dealing with right now. And those three issues are causing our entire problem. So the first question is, where is the problem? And the obvious answer is not the government, by the way. It's us. Us, we the people. Because we the people have not only walked away from God, we the people have walked away from truth. And we don't want to hear it. And we don't want to take responsibility for it. And oh my goodness, if you've taken the vaccine, or if you voted for Biden, or you've given up on Trump, or if whatever, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is that where we are right now is a situation where nobody wants to face truth. And that led to the question of, you know, what's at the core of that message? So the thing that's interesting about everything we're talking about, voter fraud, vaccines, and the threat, and faith. I mean, those are fundamentally how our country was designed, was to put, obviously, moral law above all things and our responsibility of being active in our culture with God above us. So the country's walked away from God. It's turned its faith into a pharmaceutical company or two or three or four. And they've given up on President Trump and just accepted that this voter integrity, lack of voter integrity, voter fraud is just a new normal. That's a pretty bad mix. But what's interesting is it's like buying a new, all of this comes down to something that's like buying a used car, okay? And this is what I was playing with today, is that when we talk about buying a used car, we always hear, we're always kind of plagued with the stories of the nightmare stories. That used car salesman you go and buy a car with, he's giving you the razzle dazzle, you jump in the car, it runs fine, you take it off the lot, you have it for a week and the car breaks down. You go to take it back and you're like, well, it's your problem. You bought the car. You should have checked it out. And then you're faced with, you know, $2,000 of repair costs when you don't have the money. Those are the horror stories of a used car. But then there's the used car that I just bought, which was my Jeep, my 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited. Awesome vehicle. Love it. The best vehicle I've ever owned. And here's how that story went. That's the story where I prayed on it and had a list of things that I wanted to address before I purchased it to talk to the dealer about, because I was buying it from a very good dealer, a Volvo dealer that had it on had part of their line of used cars, and they carry only high-end cars. And what I ended up with was a list of stuff. And so one of the things was discovered right away, they're like, oh, we just went through the paperwork in the car and that item was repaired already just recently. I'm like, well, okay, that's pretty cool. And then when I went over to pick it up or to test drive it and to buy it, because it's about a 3.5-hour drive, on the way I'm told, you can buy the car, but you can't test drive it. And I'm like, well, what the heck is this? This is unbelievable. I came all this way. And the general manager sits down with me and goes, look, he says, I can't let a car leave my lot without it meeting the standard of all the new high-end cars that we have here. So I'm really sorry, but we have to fix these things. But let me show you what's on my list and at no extra cost. And here's that God moment. Every single thing I had on my list to talk to him about was on his list being repaired. That included new tires all the way around, new shocks, new brakes, all of this. And he did it at no extra cost. So that's the story that I was focusing on today, because we're selling a used car. And let me explain. we're talking about voter fraud, and people are like, yeah, nothing's new about that. I took that for a test drive a few years ago, and it keeps getting broken. Every 2 years that I vote, it keeps getting broken. So I'm tired of hearing that story because it's all a rigged deal, and it's all a used car sales scam, and I'm going to get screwed on it no matter what I do. And so then we go to the vaccine, and they're like, yeah, we hear this, but they tell us we can't have our freedoms if we don't give it away. No one else is defending us. We're boxed in. It's the same old story. You talk about all this stuff. We don't know what to do. And so we're just going to play the game because this is who's in power. There's nothing we can do about it. Same old story. And there you go. We're selling a used car again. But just the bad story of the used car. And then we go to God. And this is the biggie. And we're like, let me talk to you about Christ. They're like, let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about this church I went to. Let me tell you about this door knocker that came in screaming at me, telling me I was going to go to hell because I didn't repent and that revelation was going to happen the next day and the world was going to end, and nothing happened. You see, all of these are used car stories. And here's the irony of the whole thing, is that a car is a car is a car. I love my Jeep. Don't get me wrong. It rides. I love the way it rides. I love the way it sits. I love everything about it. But at the end of the day, the Jeep, the Ford Fiesta, the Tesla, well, not the Tesla. Well, yeah, the Tesla, even though I can't stand Teslas. There's certain things that are absolutely common to them. They all have four wheels. They all have seats to sit in. They all have a steering wheel of some fashion. They all have a windscreen or a windshield to protect you. They all have a roof on them. They all have a motor. So what makes a person buy one car over the other? And what makes a person have confidence in buying that car, especially if it's a used car? What makes them have confidence? And it comes down to a relationship. And a relationship that you can trust with integrity. When I was sitting down at the desk at the dealership, the first thing that I want to point out is that I was there not at some scumbag dealership with a trailer house that's in the back of the lot where you go in and it smells like skanky smoke and body sweat. I'm at a really nice dealership. It's a Volvo dealership. Everybody in there is professional. There's no razzle-dazzle. There's no nonsense. It's just on the table. There's nothing. There's no hidden agendas. There's no sliding in. It's just truth. And then the general manager comes up and he lays out everything. He's like, look, here's what I bought the car for. This is what it's going to cost me. This is how much I'm going to make on the end. He said, I'm showing you in the open. And, you know, probably everybody's thinking, well, yeah, he's doing something sly. You know, at that point in time, you have to take a leap of faith. And he's being truthful with me and I'm going to be honest with him. And we shook and made a deal and that was it. So the first part of this story today is that we are the problem right now, all of us, not just those that are deciding to walk away from the nation, but all of us together, because we're not talking to one another in a way that we can respect and trust one another. I'm just saying. And we're not sitting down and having that relationship where we feel comfortable buying the used car. The story of Christ is not a new story. The story of Christ in our lives is not a new story, but that story has been done so many times, and I will also add, has been abused so many times. That story for many has lost its credibility, which is absolutely tragic, and it's unbelievable that a nation has moved so far away from God. It's heartbreaking. Let me read you something that was posted earlier today by Andrew Torba, another one of my favorite CEOs, who is the CEO of Gab. This is what he wrote. America stopped caring about offending God and replaced it with being worried about offending groups of people who are under 10% of the population. I only care about offending God. The rest can whine all they want about being offended by God's word. It doesn't bother me. I love Andrew Torba. So there's a couple of parts that in this that we have to be looking at. How to communicate and how to lead. If we're going to walk the talk, we have to walk the life as we would as disciples of Christ. And we have to walk that integrity place that represents the things that we're discussing. If we're going to talk about injections, then we better understand how to communicate about injections without, in a way that's professional, to the point, and leaves them with some things to think about. We have to carry ourselves in a way that is confident, solid, without being threatening or antagonistic. Imagine how Christ walked among the many. How did he walk in front of the Pharisees? How was his presence, his demeanor? It was calm. He presented options. He presented truth. That's how we have to be. And when we're that way, just like when I was sitting in the dealership, nobody's out there doing the high spin, man. Nobody's like, hey, we got 5 seconds to get this paper signed. They're just steady. They've got all day. And if I walk away, they're like, no problem. We'll give you a call later. They're just laying it out by the facts. That it's just a calm demeanor. And as you listen to it, you're like, I can trust this guy. And we're not going to reach everybody. And that's okay if we don't. Because quite frankly, there are people that are destined to walk off the cliff and we can't save them. And they want to walk off the cliff and they want to do so without a parachute. So enjoy the fall. And we have to let that go. Because ultimately, where we are is people's choice. But what we're trying to do right now is to awaken the many and to bring them back to center. Because the biggest problem we have in this nation right now is that the enemy understands one thing better than we do. They know how to manipulate the minds of people through the concepts of fear and anxiety. And they can distort reality through that power. And we are not getting to the people enough to have them hear the message that through God, there is no fear. There's no fear when we walk with Christ in our heart. None. There's no room for it. If we could get one message through all of this, one message, that would be the message. So that begs the question then, how do we talk? Because people hear things differently. There are some people that are obsessed with money. There are some people that are obsessed with data, numbers. There are some people that are obsessed with the emotions of their life. I'm so afraid. I don't know what to do. I have so much anxiety. There are some people that are weak and walk in crowds because they need to feel secure, and they comply to crowds because they have no strength to stand on their own. So how do we communicate? And the answer, Patriots, sits in how parables are written. We need to be creative in the way we communicate, not by telling, but by asking, by shaping out questions in a process of telling enough of a frame of a story that when it hits people and it's relative to today, that they begin to ask themselves the questions. Remember, you're going to ask somebody a question, not like, are you... That would be something sometimes I really want to do. Are you going to die next year? No. Well, you took the vax, right? Okay. Well, then you're going to die next year. There's many times I want to say that, but I don't think that's really where we want to go right now. It's not my point. We want to leave people with questions. Why are you here? Is a question. And they'll say, what do you mean? Why do you exist on earth? What is your purpose for being here? And they might say, because I was born out of a primordial soup and I crawled out on a fish and I've survived it and now we just have this life to live, so I want to make the most of it. That's a Darwinian type answer. Say, okay. And then you can say, doesn't it seem like that's a lot of work for nature to go to have you be here in a time just to live for yourself and not be connected to others? And doesn't it seem kind of odd you would just die and go away and there would be no afterlife? And then, of course, you might get the universalists that are going to jump in and go, oh, yes, but we're all connected by the beings of light, whatever nonsense that junk is. You ever heard of this guy named Jesus Christ? And even if they come back with, like, oh, you're a Christian? It's like, yes, I am, actually. But I want to talk to you. I just want to ask you a question. I'm not here to preach to you. I just want to ask you a question. What if, when he died, let's just say that you're wrong and he was right, that if you accepted him in your heart, you would have a guarantee of infinite life. Is that something you would be worth betting on? And what would you have to lose? And you can leave it right there. You see, here's the magic of questions like this. Is that when we do this, the conscious mind's going to respond with the emotions. They're going to tell you, yes, no, maybe, get out of here, whatever. That's okay. But here's what happens within the mind and the psyche. That question goes into the subconscious. And that question now has to be put in the framework that of the way that they are thinking. That means they have an architecture, a way of modeling their world, which is rooted in the subconscious that shapes the outcome of the conscious. This isn't craziness. This is exactly the way the mind works. The conscious mind processes something like 10,000 processes a second. The subconscious is something like 100,000 or 200,000 things a second or more. My point is, it's processing at a factor of over 100 times more than the conscious. And what the subconscious is trying to do is it's trying to take these questions and these things it sees and it's trying to plug them into a framework. And this is where you get into the principle of the parable, because the parable is giving them a story that challenges the subconscious to try to balance what it's been shaped by, what it's been told by, how it's been constructed by the lies and the twisted truths of the elite. And what happens is it can't rectify itself. It creates an anomaly. And when it creates an anomaly, the subconscious now is going to start seeking out answers to balance and right the ship, because now the ship is off balance. This question eats it up. So when we talk about planting seeds, if every person is engaging with these sorts of questions, open-ended questions, leaving questions for people to consider, it's like casting seed after seed after seed in the forest. Eventually, something's going to take root. And that's what we're doing with questions. Now, I'm going to make it a goal of mine to actually draft out some, what I would call, like, modern parables. They're not biblical by any means, but ways to approach people using a parable format. But in the meantime, I want you to think about it. Because Christ gave us the tools. The parable is a powerful mechanism. The problem with just straight parables when we're dealing with current events today, and I'm not taking anything away from Scripture, so I can just put that one up there because I already see the emails flying at me, is that because people don't have a basis in Scripture, and many don't even have a basis in history, when we talk of things in terms of Scripture, they can't even get it because, like, what's a seed? I don't know what it, are you talking about something? Is that what's in my weed when I go get it? And there's something in there that, what's a seed? I mean, they don't get it. They're not farmers. They're not in the world anymore. So if we need, when we're going to talk to people, we have to modernize contextual stories. This is, to be honest with you, Patriots, this is the foundation of so much of the work I did in Afghanistan, which was how to take ancient stories with deep history, root, and lessons in them and move them forward into a modern context so that we could teach people through history. Cultural storytelling. The Bible gives us a template. It's a fantastic template of how to communicate to people. And if we trust in God, those words are going to flow. And we're not trying to create a new scripture. We're trying to use the lessons given to us by Scripture to learn ways to teach people to think again. And that's the whole key, because what has happened over these last years is people have literally lost the ability to cognitively process. They can't independently think anymore. All they can react to is fear. And it's years of this cycle of fear and fear and fear and fear. And it's just an OODA loop of short-term thinking. Remember what I've told you, and this is the way that the neurochemistry works when you hit fear. Fear stimulates adrenaline because it's a fight or flight concept. I mean, when fear comes at you, the body goes to the primal basis of it, and it goes to a fight or flight presence, meaning fight what's coming at you or run from it. And that quick, immediate reaction is a survival tool that's built within the mechanism of responding to fear. The next piece that comes in is that slow flow of drugs that calm things down. Dopamine, one of the most addictive substances known to man. And dopamine clears the mind. It focuses the thought on short-term thinking, meaning I'm going to fight. Now I need to identify every single person and avenue I'm going to fight at, and everything slows down and gets hyper clear. Or I'm going to run, flight, and it's going to show you a clear path around everything and the obstacles, and you're going to be able to feel like the whole world slows down in seconds, going to seem like minutes. Hopefully most have experienced that, because it's an incredible experience when you happen, and it's built within us. But what we never counted on is that a system would engineer its information tools to constantly exploit that. So what is happening actually with fear, which is the most deadly part of this whole thing, is that people are responding in fear because they need fear. They have become addicted to their own neurochemicals. Fear is the addiction. It's not just not having fear. They rely on fear to keep them focused, because without fear, they feel lost. We have to find a way to communicate. And the one thing we can't do is respond fear to fear. We can't paint pictures of anxiety and fear. I mean, this is why I say many times, don't let truth become a fear tool. We're going to talk at times about truths here that are going to be pretty intense, and I do. And I want to be able to speak those truths, or at least the analysis of potential truths, without people losing their mind going, oh my goodness, the world is at the end. I got to run to my bunker. I got to get my canned tuna, and I got to lock and load and start eating canned fish and poking my rifle barrel out the bunker and drinking bottled water and dehydrated sweat water. I don't know. I mean, it's like crazy, right? Instead of like, listen, because this is the world that I've loved working in so much when I worked with special operations, is that we could just lay stuff out. It's like, okay, here's the threat. Here's what we're looking at. What's the probability of survival? There's like 30% probability of survival. Okay, here's our alternate avenues of approach. It's very, very emotionless. And everybody's focused on the general idea of understanding the threat so we can create a counter move. That's how you need to get to. And why I hate telling people what to do, I'm going to tell you what to do. You need to get there. Because this stuff is going to get really intense. And we're going to start seeing people lose their damn mind, because there's going to be many things happen in the coming months that are going to shock people to their core. I have no doubt, by the way, we're going to see some form of the Wuhan cockroach dance, meaning people dropping dead on the ground, wiggling around and jolting, because it's not just an act. They're probably going to get their blood boiled by this 5G stuff with this other junk that's in them that they've now taken as an injection. Hopefully I'm wrong. But it won't surprise me, because those sorts of events, even if they're staged by the media, cause such fear and panic in people, they'll do anything to leave that anxiety. Have somebody drop on the ground, they start flopping around, and they scream, Delta variant, Epsilon, Delta, Lambda, variant, quick, quick, get an injection. And people are like, okay, I'll take it, I'll take it. I don't want to be near the Delta, Epsilon, Lambda variant. It's the most dangerous thing in the world. And then you hear in the back, you know, you're not hearing this part of the story. Hey, Fred, that was a good act. Can we get some more 5G over on that one over there? Because I don't think they understand yet. We're going to boil their blood. Roger that. Watch this. Boom. I mean, this is the sort of garbage that's going on, and people are buying it because they're not using their mind for anything other than a butt pillow. And God didn't intend that we use our mind for that. We intended he would use our mind for something amazing, like to inspire others to love Christ. So I say all this because we have to get better at our communication, not by trying to assault people, though believe me, I'm on the top of the list of sometime wanting to just take a baseball bat and go, okay, watch this. You're going to understand when I'm through. And they're going to be like, you beat me up. I'm like, do you get it now? Yes, I do. Okay, good. But that isn't going to work so well. However, if we are presenting questions and leaving them with things to answer, and putting the things that they suppose on its head. The parable is masterful because it turns things on its head. It leaves you with having to think about, like, why did Christ say that? What did he mean by that? And that's the sort of puzzle, that sort of thinking complexity that we need to get to in the way we approach people, to leave them with things to think about and letting their subconscious work these problems to free them from the matrix. It's the only way they're going to get out. And I'm not kidding, because you can throw a rope on their neck and drag them out, get them to safety and be like, here's a hot meal and you can take a shower. And they're going to be like, I stink, I'm starving, and I'm going back to the matrix. You're like, okay. That's literally how we are right now. You're going to die if you take the injection. I know, the risk is worth the reward. I'm saving humanity. This is where we are. So we have to get very creative about this. This is not a parable. This is... But I think this gets to the core of where we have to get to mentally. And this is right here, Psalm 112, which is titled, The Righteous Will Never Be Moved. We have to be this solid. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright, for he is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. We must be the righteous who will never be moved. We must live that path. We must be the givers. We must be the leaders. We must be those that are solid and represent the leadership in which our people need. And we have to leave them with the questions which will allow them to reflect and challenge the way they are thinking within the matrix where they are trapped. And it's there that we have an opportunity of dislodging them finally, because we are not of this world. And that piece right there is the most important part of everything in our life, is to accept the fact that we are not of this world, but we have a mission in this world. And that mission is to bring God's children home. And right now, Patriots, right now, the remnant is getting increasingly smaller, but the remnant has to get increasingly strong. It must be resolute, because what we represent as a remnant must lead the world, lead this nation back to its rightful place on its knees before God with Christ in our heart. That is our mission, and we must do that with all the tools that Christ gave us, including the way that we communicate and the paths in which we walk. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed in this time to truly see where we are and see the responsibilities that are set before us. Lord, we ask for your clarity with eyes to see and ears to hear as we step forward into this path of the righteous. Let us not waver. Let us gift us, Lord, with the words that we need to reach the many, the questions, the parables of modern day, to speak to those that are locked in the matrix, trapped in the darkness. Let us give the words that are needed to unlock them, to set their minds free, and let them see truly what is before them. Lord, we know that only you can heal them, and maybe that healing is only for their soul. But nonetheless, Lord, we understand and feel strongly that you want us here in this place, in this time, not in this world, but operating in this world for the greater mission of bringing your children home. We accept the mission. Send us. Send me. And let us obey all the commandments you put before us, for we are yours to direct and command in this mighty battle as we fight to save humanity in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It is a battle. It's not an easy battle, but it is a battle. And it's one that we must win. It's one that we must win with decisiveness. It's one that we must win with effective use of our tools of warfare. It's one that we must never relent. It's one that we must fight every day to bring the many back to God and put them at his feet. They have to make that choice ultimately, but we have to be that light, and we have to be those guides, and we have to be that glimmer of hope and that powerful tool that can deliver a message that can unlock them from the matrix. That is our mission. Not of this world, but operating in this world for God's glory and the glory of our King. So keep your head up and your eyes forward, never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. We have so much we have to do, and so far we have to go. But we know that with God's with us, through our prayers and our connection, he will never forsake us. He will guide us and direct us exactly where we need to be. This is a lifetime mission. It is not a mission that's going to end with the discovery that there is election fraud. It's not a mission that's going to end with the stopping of the injections. It's the mission that is just beginning now with all of those things and many more, because ultimately the greatest mission that we are on is to restore this nation to the true foundation world words of "In God we trust," with the light of Christ in our hearts. God will never forsake us, but in the end, as we know, God will always win, so let us be there with him as he does. So, patriots, have a very blessed evening. Thank you all. It's an amazing family and an amazing group that we've developed here. Let us continue to strengthen our ranks and build the force of the remnant. This BDAD group here is unlike anything I've ever seen on the web, because it's not just on the web, it's in the world, as we must be for God. Have a blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. or until the next time. God bless. Thank you. Good night. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through. Fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground.
Safe place to hide from the rain.